Hi, I'm Doug Gordon, and this is Beta. If you're looking for something entertaining, enlightening, funny, and smart to binge watch, we here at Beta highly recommend that you check out Dear White People on Netflix. This show checks all of the boxes, and then some. Dear White People is set at a predominantly white Ivy League university, and it focuses on students in an African-American dorm. The show is based on the film of the same name. Justin Simeon is the creator of Dear White People, and he joins us to talk about the series.
It was honestly something that was, in my mind, a pipe dream. You know, Tara Duncan from Netflix saw the film, and some folks from Showtime saw the film, and were kind of just whispering in my ear, like, hey, you thinking about making this a TV show? And, you know, I'd been working on Dear White People for years, and it's always the thing that we've talked about in various writers' groups. It's like, this is great as a movie, but boy, it'd be great as a TV show. And so, you know, I did what I kind of always do when I get inspired, is I just start working on something. And when I went on tour with the film to different colleges and was just sort of absorbing different stories and different pictures of student life, I'd go home to my hotel room and just write out what I thought a really cool show would be, and I just started daydreaming about it. So we took it around town, and that's just sort of how it just came together very quickly and very organically.
The series pretty much picks up where the movie left off. And for those of our listeners who haven't had a chance to watch Dear White People yet, can you talk a bit about the setting and the characters?
Yeah, so, you know, Dear White People takes place at a fictional, mostly white attended Ivy League college, which really is a kind of microcosmic stand-in for America in a lot of ways. But it centers around a smaller group of black students at this predominantly white college and explores their, you know, coming of age. And they're sort of trying to figure out who they are, what their identities mean in a world and within a narrative that didn't necessarily have them in mind to begin with. And there's a show at the center of the film and then series called Dear White People. It's sort of a radio/podcast show from a student named Samantha White. And the controversy over whether or not that show is racist, which is ironic.
Yeah. Yes, yes. Very much so.
Sort of like, you know, sparks the beginning of the film and kind of thrusts us in through to the series.
Yeah. And the very first episode of this series opens with a quote from James Baldwin, quote,
yes.
The paradox of education is that as one begins to become conscious, one begins to examine the society in which he is being educated, end quote. And that really sums up what the characters at this fictional Ivy League college, Winchester University, are dealing with. As you
That's
said,
exactly right.
Yeah, these are people who are coming of age, trying to find their own identities and make sense of life. How important is the fact that your show focuses on college students in terms of the themes you want to explore and the stories that you want to tell?
Well, in a lot of ways, you know, Winchester, I mean, it's as much a college show as, say, like Election is a high school movie.
Mm.
There's one, you know, folks that age are really on the front lines of this because they really are figuring out how to form the cultural conversation that is going to sort of be the norm in just, you know, a decade or so. I mean, they really are on the front lines of all these issues. But what's interesting is, you know, I have people who, you know, graduated college 20, 30, 40 years ago, mm-hmm. and they tell me this is exactly what my college experience was.
Yeah.
And I have people who never went to a college and say this is exactly what it's like in my office, you know.
Yeah.
And so, you know, as much as it is about real students, and we definitely take pains to sort of portray that in a realistic, accurate way and sort of have them dealing with and talking about the things that real students are talking about and take our inspiration there, ultimately, we are talking about America. We are talking about what it feels like to, you know, be something other than what the culture that you have to embrace in order to be ambitious and to survive and to thrive. You know, how do you sort of like figure out who you are and explain to people who you are when there's literally nowhere else in the culture where that's being reflected? And I think that honestly, I'm talking about that through a black lens, but I feel like that's a human condition thing. You know, we all go to work and put on a version of ourselves and have to reconcile at some point with who we really are when that version is gone, or when we lose the job, or when, you know, we get caught in a lie, or whatever it may be. And I do think the consequences are far more dire for black people, identity issues. But I do think that what I'm talking about is a sort of universal human condition thing.
All of the characters in the show are very well written, and the actors are great. There's a lot of complexity and dimensionality. Can you tell me a bit about Samantha White?
Yeah, Sam is one of the first characters that came to mind, and she really kind of came out of a daydream. I mean, I was in college, and I just began sort of imagining this as a kind of movie I would want to see. And her and Lionel and Coco really were some of just the first voices in my head. Mm. I think as I've gone to therapy and gotten older, I've realized that Sam is probably like a kind of amalgamation of my mom and a version of me that, you know, is more outspoken or more sort of quick to put a message out there than I think I am. My job with her was really to make sure that this is a real woman that we're seeing, and not a sort of like man's version of a woman. You know, that was sort of always the task with her. And to have a light-skinned black person where, you know, they're not just there sort of modeling some kind of form of beauty or whatever, but like really get into the complexities of what it means when you are in a world that sort of says you have to be black or white, but in fact, you're kind of both. And do you have to choose a side? And how do you reconcile all that? And some of that is coming out through Sam.
Yeah. As you mentioned, Sam hosts a radio show podcast called Dear White People. And she's also self-published a book called Ebony and Ivy. And she's it's a great title. She's constantly stirring things up by criticizing white people, and as well as the various racist transgressions that take place at Winchester University. And as you mentioned, she's light in skin. She's biracial. So I'm curious about how much of Sam's activism is motivated by her efforts to work through her biracial identity.
I mean, I think quite a bit of it. You know, I think that's sort of what she is grappling with, is how much of this is me and how much of this am I just in reaction to something? I mean, truly, the title, Dear White People, I know that it means a lot of things to people when it hits their ear. But at the end of the day, why I stand by the title is because being black is about having, you always feel as if you're in response to a white-dominated culture. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I think her untangling what is a response and what is what she genuinely feels and wants to talk about, her sort of separating those two things is the journey that she's on. And this season in particular, season two, we go home with her and we meet her family, we meet her parents, and we get into the weeds of what it feels like to sort of have this very public, very Afrocentric black persona, but you got a white dad. What do you do with that? Like, what do you do with that? You live in a world that says you're a black woman and therefore you're treated differently, but you have a white dad. So how do you reconcile what you feel when you're with your family versus what society tells you to feel about yourself?
Yeah. And of course, it's no accident that Sam's last name is White, is it?
Well, I'm a fan of character nymphs, I believe is what they're referred to, meaning that this is a very intentional, heightened reality. And there's a lot of things that signify that. The language, the way the kids are talking to each other. I've always wanted to sort of invoke a Paddy Chayefsky kind of, you know, modern day Shakespearean written kind of sound to the language. But also all of the characters' names really directly say something about them.
You said in an interview, you had this great line. You said that the truth of the movie and the show is identity versus self. Can you explain what you mean by that?
Let's break it down this way. A peasant in medieval England, okay, it can't dream of being a pop star because it's not something that's in the cultural narrative. It didn't exist then.
No.
And in the same way that you can kind of get that, when you grow up as a person of color, cultural narratives are just as informative today. And we don't really necessarily get to see ourselves in this culture that we participate in, that we must participate in order to advance, in order to make money, in order to thrive. And so therefore, we have to put on these identities. We have to sort of not only be aware of how we're perceived as black, but also create an identity for ourselves so that we can survive in this place called America. But for black folks, because our identities are so much in response to how people see us, it honestly takes us a lot longer in life to really figure out who we are and what we really care about and what we really want. And when you get to grow up in an environment where race is not something that you think of, or walking into a Starbucks or a grocery store, people looking at your skin color, when that's not a thing that you're constantly thinking about, you get to sort of explore who you are a lot sooner in life. You're not walking around thinking, oh my God, I'm white, I'm white, I'm white. Like when that's your thought all day, you have an opportunity to figure out who you really, really are. Thriving in this country is so all-consuming that I think it is harder and harder to figure out who you are and who you might be if it wasn't for these societal pressures. So identity versus self, to me, is the universal human condition theme that I'm speaking to, but through this black youthful lens.
There's a lot of comedy in Dear White People. There's some very funny dialogue, and I love the opening voiceover narrations by Giancarlo Esposito. I especially love the one at the beginning of the first episode in season one. The writers of this program are depending on my ethnic but non-threatening voice to explain things that are too lazy to set up traditionally.
Sam had enough and took to Winchester's syndicated student radio station.
Dear White People, here's a little tip. When you ask someone who looks ethnically different, what are you? The answer is usually a person about to slap the shit out of you.
While Sam's show, aptly titled Dear White People, garnered a diverse set of listeners.
Who is this chick?
Others was butthurt.
It's so meta and self-deprecatory. How did you come up with that? Did that come up like during the editing process, or did you know you wanted to do that right from the get-go?
Well, I knew that I wanted to continue from the movie.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't want to reboot it or do it with new characters or start over. So I had to catch people up to speed. And, you know, the easiest way to do that it was with a narrator. But the first thing you learn in film school is never use a narrator.
Yeah,
I mean, all these things that people do quite
well sometimes. No voiceover.
Because it can be used as a crutch. And so there was no sort of way for me to do it in a straightforward. I had to wink and sort of, sort of call my own BS and be like, here's the deal. I just need to catch you up to speed real, real quick. That's why he's here. I don't know. It's a part of my sense of humor, I think, to kind of make fun of myself, jokingly say shade is my love language, and it is. And I don't sort of like, I put it on myself all the time. That's why there's so many buybacks. Like every time someone says something, someone else has a really great counter argument, no matter what it is, because I think this stuff is hard enough to talk about, honestly.
The show addresses some very important questions about race that can make people uncomfortable. And I'm curious about why you have so much comedy in the show. It's very funny, as I was saying before. Is the comedy there to offer a break from the heaviness of the serious content, or is it playing some other role as well?
I think so. I mean, one, it was always just funny in my head. It was always kind of this comedy. It was always a satire. But I think, you know, one of the things that I learned early on in life studying theater is that drama is about your gut. It's about the visceral response. It's about sort of drawing out like your emotional reaction to something. And comedy is about your intellect. You have to think about something before it makes you chuckle. It has to sort of like connect in your brain in a certain way. And obviously every comedy has drama and vice versa. I wanted you to think about these issues just as much as I wanted you to feel about them. I think that there's a lot of black tragedy in the culture, and I think it serves a purpose because there are aspects of the black experience that are tragic. But I felt like I could say something else through a comedy, that you don't just feel bad. You also, like, it's an intellectual exercise. You actually have something that you can chew on after the show, after the episode or the film is over, besides just how you feel. Ultimately, these are things that I want people to talk about. Not just feel their way through, not just have an emotional reaction, but feel like they, after you see the show, no matter how connected to the issues you may have been, you have a new language to talk about them. I think that's what Get Out does. You know,
it gave
us all of these new phrases to talk about things that we've all been feeling. And I don't know that it would have done that if it didn't have that satirical streak through it. If it was just visceral horror, I don't know that we'd be talking about the sunken place in the way that we talk about it now. And I think that that's the power of comedy.
Yeah.
And it was just always that way in my head.
You went to a lot of effort to make sure that you have women writers working on the show, and you also have Yvette Lee Bowser as the showrunner. She was the first African-American woman to develop her own primetime TV series, Living Single, which
aired
on Fox in the 90s. Yeah. How important is the diversity of your staff to the success of Dear White People?
It's incredibly important. I never want the show to feel dogmatic or like you're being preached to or like there's some kind of monolithic voice or answer emanating from the show. It was really important for me to have a team of rivals in the room, people from different backgrounds, people who had who were intersections of black and, you know, various sexual orientations. And I just really needed that team around me. I've always felt the need to surround myself with women, and in particular, because people were so connected to Sam and Coco, I just thought it would be irresponsible and arrogant to assume that I could speak to that experience as a man.
In episode 4 of the first season, there are some tense moments between Sam and Coco. Coco at one point says to Sam that Sam gets away with murder because she looks more like white people and that gives her light skin privilege.
You get away with murder because you look more like them than I do. That's your light skin privilege. Until you acknowledge that, shut the f*** up about who's woke or not.
How important is it to you that Dear White People explores identity issues within black culture?
Very important, because the thing is, it's all this thing called whiteness. I mean, it really is it's a 17th century invention that was economically based, but it has all of these repercussions. And the fact that, you know, colorism is so rampant in the black community, that's a symptom of a world in which the lighter you are, the more accepted and successful you are. And, you know, it's called Dear White People, but and people make a joke, well, what if there was a show called Dear Black People? Well, it kind of is. Mm. You know, it's mm-hmm. about us. It's yeah. about our experiences and how the effects of a quote-unquote oppressive society can sort of trickle down in the oddest, most personal ways. And, of course, it's vitally important to deal with how these things affect black people within the black context.
One of the things that makes Dear White People so powerful is that each chapter is told from a different character's point of view. And I can't help but think of Akira Kurosawa's classic 1950 film, Rashomon, which really shows us that truth is in the eye of the beholder. Why did you decide to structure the show this way?
Well, that was exactly it. You know, I always saw the film as an ensemble. And so it always kind of irked me when people sort of assumed that Sam was the lead. And she certainly is vocal, and she's a takeaway. But the way the film is structured is that each of the characters actually really own each of the act breaks. Sam brings us into act 2. Lionel brings us on home. Coco and Troy sort of hold up the middle of the film. And so with the show, I wanted to make sure that everybody had their due and that we actually got to be in the shoes of each of these characters, spend time with them, really see the world from their point of view. And it also gave me an exciting way to introduce you to somebody from someone else's perspective and sort of allow you to make all of the judgments that you'd make, seeing them through, you know, the character you're following's eyes. And then the next episode, you're with that character now. And now you get to see the truth and sort of kind of always sort of explore this sort of the cover of the book versus its content. I mean, that's really one of the joys of being a filmmaker, a storyteller of color, is that I have the opportunity to bring so many perspectives and stories to the culture that just sort of systemically have been locked out.
Mm-hmm. The fifth episode of the first season marks a pivotal moment in the show. There's that scene in which Reggie Green, an activist in the Black Student Union, and his friends are at a party. Reggie's white friend says the N-word while he's singing along to a song, and then Reggie asks him not to use that word, and this argument breaks out, and things escalate.
I'm going to need to see your ID.
Why do you need to see my ID?
Son, I said ID.
I'm not your son.
Reggie, do what he says.
I said show me some ID!
No, he's a student!
Show me some ID!
Can you talk about this scene a bit and its importance to the storyline?
Yeah, I wanted to kind of lull you into this comedic world and have you have the experience of what it does feel like to be black. I wanted to put Reggie in a situation where he is having fun and feeling free and feeling carefree, just like I think we kind of feel leading up to that episode, and then show how his skin color makes it different. And then also talk about this N-word thing and how, you know, when a black person says, please don't do it, it's not about calling someone a racist. It doesn't have to be this charged thing. Mm-hmm. It really is the reaction to it, the offense, when in fact, like, we're just asking you to hear what we're talking about here. Like, it's a word that still holds meaning in this nation. We just don't want to hear you say it. And I just wanted to show how the sort of cavalier way in which, you know, honestly, this well-intended friend of Reggie's, he's saying the word, he doesn't understand it. I think we don't villainize him, we don't make him evil or anything. He truly doesn't understand, he's trying to understand. And in taking offense, it escalates. And as a result, you know, Reggie is in the situation he's in.
Yeah, season 2 just dropped on Netflix. What can you tell us about season 2?
You know, I do a ton of research in between seasons. That sort of theme of erasing the past, systemically sort of like covering up what just happened so that we can move on with a different version of what America is. We have a sort of cultural amnesia as Americans. And I was really obsessed with the secrets that we keep this season. And I wanted to, now that we've introduced everybody, now I wanted to take this as an opportunity to not have to just introduce you to people, but dive really, really deep into their lives and explore the ways in which secrets make them sick, the secrets that they keep from themselves, the secrets that they keep from each other, the secrets of the history of Winchester, which is a stand-in for America, and how not understanding how the current moment was brought about through the past sort of leads us into these really dark holes where we can't get out. The show is never prescriptive. The show never tells you what to do. But I do think we have a role in diagnosing the issue. And I think our kind of compulsion of pretending that the past was whatever is most convenient to the present as opposed to what it really was something to satirize and get into this season.
Who is the audience for Dear White People?
This is a show for everybody. I toured the country and I had the most amazing conversations with 60-year-old white librarian in Wisconsin or kid who hasn't even gotten to college yet. I've had conversations with people in France, in Stockholm, all over the world about this show. So listen, we're on Netflix. We're in 192 countries. I'm not putting a limit to the audience. I think anybody who, frankly, wants to watch something that is intelligent, fun, exciting, sexy, but also makes you think, gives you something to chew on, that's what we tried to make. We tried to make something beautiful that is engaging to an audience, period. Whether or not you want to get into the issues and the political stuff or the activism, none of that is required. I just wanted to make the kind of show I wanted to watch.
Life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. For some of us, maybe. Nothing self-evident about it.
You can't take me down. You can't break me down. You can't take me down.
Justin Simeon is the creator of the Netflix series Dear White People. You can find out more about Justin and his show at WPR.org/beta. And we'd love to hear what you think of Beta. You can get in touch with us by sending an email to beta@wpr.org.